You love your kids and cherish your time with them. But everyone needs a break. That's why I use Benadryl. Benadryl uses all-natural antihistamines to regulate their energy to an acceptable level for the end of my day. I don't know how it works, but I like it. 3 out of 5 pediatricians recommend Benadryl above locking your kids in a closet. As an added bonus, for the next 4 hours, he isn't as allergic to f***ing peanuts. Benadryl, not really a sponsor of the Dad Podcast. Drink responsibly.
Welcome to the Dad Podcast, episode number 70. As you can see in the description, I'm here in the studio with Johnny Walker. How are you doing, Mr. Walker?
I'm awesome. I haven't slept in like 3 days.
You look thoroughly exhausted, I'll be honest.
Yeah. I mean, they couldn't tell, right?
No.
I mean, they're listening. I guess they could probably tell when I took a while just to answer, how am I? That I probably wasn't shooting on all cylinders.
You took a moment to yourself. Like you took that, you carpe diem that to say, here's a moment I don't have to exert any energy at all.
Exactly.
So the listeners are aware, because I think other people do these kinds of things in life. You're going to grad school.
I'm going to grad school. I'm getting a degree in teaching.
Yes.
And so I'm just writing a ton of papers right now.
Yeah.
And I'm in a middle school classroom 2 days a week.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, because you're like subbing, kind of, right?
Yeah.
Or is it student teaching technically? Or?
Exactly. Yeah. Not quite.
Do me a favor. This one is new. So you have to get like right into the tip
right up
of it.
Is this,
yeah, that's better.
Oh yeah.
Does that feel better?
Yeah, it reminds me of other things
I
used to do.
I mean, you can position it however you want. You can move. I want you to be comfortable, because it'd also be very fun if you just pass out in the middle.
Right. I'm off to a great start here.
So you're in a middle school class.
I'm in a middle school class under a guided teaching practice.
Wow.
And it's a middle school. Judy Garland went to school there. Dorothy went to school there. Francis Ford Coppola.
Is this the one that in Hollywood that has all of the paintings of like John Ritter on the curtain and all
the paintings of John Ritter? No.
But I mean, all of the stars from Hollywood.
No, I think that's Hollywood High School.
This is the middle school,
one of the feeder schools, which used to have a ton of stars. Actually, Mila Kunis went there.
Really?
But now it's I'd say 95-98%. Latino, 50% below the federal poverty level. It's kids who have a lot of challenges.
So 8 years from now, this is where they'll talk about the kids from Telemundo went.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. They're going to be huge stars. The next Selena.
The Power of 10 Menudo version.
Exactly. Wizard of Oz Spanish style. It was like The Wiz was the black version. It's going to be El Wiz.
Yeah. El Wiz!
Leon.
Do you think any of the kids know who Judy Garland is?
That's the thing. Not at all. There is absolutely no inspiration looking down from those walls.
Not even like a gay Latino kid is.
Probably.
Right, he's
aware,
right?
Yeah, he could. He could be. Honestly, it's sort of a wall of crazy expectations.
You know what that makes me think of is that much like how, you know, I heard stories from my parents, like when John Lennon was shot, like it just, the country shut down. Everybody's like, what the hell?
Right.
And I remember thinking, like, who would be my generation's John Lennon? And the closest I could come up with was maybe Michael Jackson or Madonna.
Oh, really? I would go to Kurt Cobain.
That's true.
And that guy who shot him was such a dick.
Yeah,
too.
God, he was so self-loathing.
I couldn't believe he did that to Kurt. Who would shoot Kurt Cobain?
You're talking about Courtney, right?
Right.
When you say dude, is that what you mean? Too soon. But I wonder, like, if the same thing works in, like, you know, like gay stereotypes. Like, I don't imagine in the year 2083 that they're going to be like, oh, you know, those gays, they love them some Cher, you know, like, or Barbara Streisand.
You mean we won't even say that they're an other? Or like we all love Lady Gaga?
No, I'm saying, well, that could also be, that was my go-to too, is Lady Gaga. But I mean, like, there's got to be a new turnover of crop of stereotypical loves for a community. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Like you can't always harken back to, like, Miles Davis. You know what I mean? Like, eventually there's got to be a new generation where people forget, as sad as it may sound, who Miles Davis is. So I'm saying within the gay community, I guess Lady Gaga would be the one to step up to throne.
After Judy Garland.
Yeah, maybe a Katy Perry, I also would imagine.
You know what? But I show Wizard of Oz to my daughter all the time, and cross my fingers if she becomes gay, which I hope, she's ready to really embrace that icon.
Yeah, she could be the old soul lesbian.
Exactly. Like, she actually, this is what she was. She was Dorothy for Halloween.
Awesome.
And got a lot of compliments from lots of different people.
Yeah.
Including a guy dressed as the Tin Man.
Yes.
Who, if you try to recreate the Tin Man costume, there's an unfortunate crotch situation.
Yeah.
And painted silver at night, a grown man with that silver crotch was a little disconcerting.
Well, that's on you trick-or-treating in West Hollywood, if you think about that.
Hey, that's where I live. That's where I make my bed.
That's totally fine. I mean, I stand by it. We in L.A. have a problem of commuting trick-or-treaters, but you know, you just kind of, you got to be aware of it when you're walking around.
You do. Dressing your daughter like Judy Garland in West Hollywood.
You're going to come into the occasional Tin Man.
Right, you will, even when it's not Halloween.
Oh, so I wanna ask you more about this, like school. What's it like being back in school? Like,
it's really weird. I never thought I would want to go to middle school. I wanted to go to high school to teach history. That's where
that's the end goal.
Well, that was my goal, but there were no local schools that would accept student teachers, because it's a real pain in the ass for a teacher to be like, I'll bring someone in and teach them.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool. It's a real apprenticeship. Like, it's something that all teachers just sort of do to help
out. Your mentor is pretty solid?
He is, but it's in a middle school, which I didn't want to go to, and it's teaching world history, like ancient civilizations, which I have absolutely no background in. I'm great with the 20th century. I mean, I have a degree in like Cold War comparative history and politics from Yale University.
Wow. But,
you know, I've watched Gladiator 7 times. I think that's my only connection to the ancient world. Ridley Scott, that's it. And so I'm having to draw up these lesson plans and learn about, I think, with the Muslim and Islamic civilization, and teach these to these kids.
That has to happen a lot as a teacher. Like, you have to kind of learn things if you're new. Like, I'm sure elementary school, you would hope, is not so eye-opening. But once you get to, like,
You know what? I substitute taught in an elementary school one day. They were learning about xylem and phloem, which are parts of in a tree in the root system, bringing it up and down.
Yeah.
I had no, but all you have to do is be able to read faster than them, which is pretty easy to do. And just it's a lot like stand up. You just sort of pretend like you know what you're talking about, and they'll totally go along with you.
I like that you're using cold reading skills just to say, like,
oh yeah, all those commercial auditions have paid off big time. It's selling crappy products to people who don't know any better.
Not reading a day before, but reading literally right then and there to teach them, but just sticking a couple sentences ahead. Like,
oh yeah,
you could even have someone, I'm just saying, I'm spitballing here, you could even have one of the kids read, and they're going to read so slow that you could be done with the chapter.
That's exactly what I was
doing. And have a plan of what you're going to reiterate.
Oh yeah, it's great. You teach reading comprehension.
Man, we're doing a lot for the LA Unified School District
right
now.
We are. We're going to help them. I'm personally going to help them.
Go ahead. I would like to see your stand and deliver movie. You know what I mean? Mm. Not the guy who comes in and tries to save, just the guy who tries to skate by. You know?
Just to make it through a day.
Like, yeah. Why do you have to be so passionate and motivational? Like, listen, guys, I just need to make tenure. Everybody calm down with your gang wars and calm down, all right?
Yeah, I want to make you kids make laugh. I don't want anyone to be violent. I mean, those are my goals. Laughter. Learning is secondary.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. So, the reason I asked about whether or not your mentor is good is because when I used to do comedy sports in Northern California, there was a teacher, he worked there as a teacher, and he had this great story about when he was doing his student teaching, there was a guy who he was observing, like, he just got into the class, And he was like, okay, everybody settle. This is an elementary school. He goes, everybody settle down, settle down, settle down. And an Asian kid raised his hand and said, Mr. Wilson, whatever, blah, 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 blah. He's like, yeah, yeah, ching, ching, chong, whatever.
It's oh, my God.
The guy was just like, he just went slack-jawed. Because, you know, at that point, you go in where, like, you're new and you're like, I'm going to change these kids' lives.
Exactly. I'm going to soak everything right. in, all this, the pedagogy, all the instructional strategies. Yeah. I'm just going to.
And they're gonna, it's gonna be great. And then first day, like, yeah, yeah, ching, ching, chong, whatever.
Ching, chong. Okay. And he's writing that note down. Talk to Asian kid in racist stereotype.
He said, he goes, I just realized how low the bar was. Like when I got in there.
Oh, there's so many horrible teachers, but there are some amazing ones.
Oh, of course.
I'm really lucky enough to be in that classroom because a lot of the other people, the other teacher candidates in my school have horrible teachers just like that.
Well, and that's what I only grew up in California, and it's because there's another dad, Jeff Meacham. I don't know if all Connecticutians know each other.
Connecticutians.
Yeah,
yes,
that's Connecticutians. But anyway, he's also from Connecticut, and I just hear you guys talk about, like, it's to me, it just seems like a utopia, right, in Connecticut. So what, like, you grew up there, right, your whole life?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of Connecticut's weird because there are huge disparities in wealth there, but where I grew up, it was an incredible suburb. It was sort of like a Ferris Bueller type situation. And
damn it, I'm going to move there.
Yeah, the public schools are awesome. Yeah. And so, I mean, just the amount of money you save sending your kid to a public school, so great. But I got a great education there.
Yeah. Son of a bitch. I mean, because and that's what I'm curious is that I've always looked at publication as obviously a good thing, but, and I don't know if it's a California thing or if it's all public schools, but. For me, I was like, well, you get out of it what you put into it, kind of a thing. Like, you have to have my dad was invested in me getting good grades, but also had an idea of, like, he's obviously not going to learn everything he needs to know about the world in there. So my dad tried to balance it with, like, life experience type stuff that he would teach me, but he never sat down and said, let me go over some flashcards of state capitals with you.
Right.
Like, he was like, that's their gig.
But just having that parental support is a big thing. Like, some of these kids in my class, I mean, just what they have to deal with every day. They wake up at 5 a.m.
Why?
And they have to take the city bus because they bus kids from all over the city.
Oh.
Also, the problem with a lot of schools here is it's not a local school, and these kids are coming in from all over the place. Yeah, waking up at 5 in the morning. A lot of them, Spanish is their first language, and they don't even have a Spanish class in school. Like, they can't even use that skill that they have. It's like, give me a break, really? I can't speak it. I can't get an easy A in beginning
Spanish.
That's
true. Like, yeah, that's. I wonder if they can even do it in high school. Like, that would really suck if in Los Angeles you can't take Spanish in high school because they're like, come on, guys.
Yeah.
Like, it's just filled with
Spanish.
Give me
some confidence.
A bunch of Spanish kids, a white kid, and a Chinese kid. Like, those are the only ones in Spanish class.
Yeah.
Like, because I took German like a moron.
German's like, I really think Germany's going to rise again.
No.
This is the language I need to learn.
It honestly had to do with the fact that Spanish was such. I knew I needed to take a foreign language. But Spanish was so hard to get into because that's what everybody wanted to take because they were taking it for the reason, well, I have to take a foreign language, so I might as well take one that's going to be applicable.
Yeah, something practical.
Right, that makes sense. But not this guy. No,
yeah,
I said,
I took French.
Yeah. At least that's good for the ladies. I didn't even think of French. I just went, well, German's the least popular one, so I know I could get into that one no matter what. I don't have to wait and take it at a term I didn't want to.
Do you remember any German? I feel like if you know German, people just figure you're
some,
like a genius.
Ich spreche ein bisschen Deutsch, means I speak a little German.
I know a little German. He's right over there.
Come on, ba-boom!
Ba-boom, top secret. Okay.
But the only time I've used it is I was in an airport in North Carolina, and there was a lady that came over the intercom and said, if there's anyone in the terminal that speaks German, we would like you to report to gate number 18. And I was like, well, I speak a little bit. No, they're not talking to me.
Right.
10 minutes goes by. Again, if anyone at all speaks German, if you could please.
Introductory German from high school.
So I said, well, I guess I'll go. And so I went up there and said, I didn't even take introductory. I took 3 years of it, I think, in high school.
Nice.
And so then she goes, yeah, we're trying to explain to her. She doesn't know when her plane is going to arrive. Can you please tell her that her plane will be here in 15 minutes? She could sit down. And I said, oh, 15 Minuten. That's all I had to say to this chick. And she goes, danke. And she walked away. Like, that's the only time I've ever used it with any practicality. There was a time that I wished I could have used it. We had a hot German exchange student.
Ooh.
Yeah, she was curvy, and I was into her. I had a girlfriend at the time, but I was like, man, this chick is a little bit.
And
all
who's she gonna tell in German? You know,
well, she spoke a lot of English because at this point they'd already was their language there. Like they speak eight languages.
They're awesome. And, yeah.
So, but I was just like, oh, maybe I could get a little tutor. Like she could help me out or whatever.
And, oh, right.
Maybe hit a home run, teach her some baseball. You know
exactly,
what I'm saying?
And, exactly.
Sexual baseball, that is, for anybody who doesn't believe in subtlety. And
have sex with the teacher.
Thank you. Yes, yes. Right. Wait, no, not the teacher, the student. I wanted the exchange student.
No, but you
Mrs.
were.
Mrs. Driscoll was not an attractive woman.
No. But you wanted her to be your teacher.
Ah, I see. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. My Mr. Miyagi teacher, kind of. Exactly. This is going bad all around.
Sex with Mr. Miyagi.
Really
wax off.
This is really horrible.
Okay.
All the way around.
Sorry. Okay, keep going.
So I never really got a chance to use any of my foreign language anywhere.
Did you at least try to hit on her using German?
No. That's the thing that sucks is that I hope that you have daughters, so it's different for you. I hope that when my sons grow up, I of course am going to raise them to be gentlemen because I will remember the fear of having a daughter like that lived in me before
right.
I was done having kids. You know what I mean? That I know I want them to be respectful of girls, but I want them to be able to just go up. I want to try and find a way to tell them that, listen, there will come a time in your life that if every girl that you look at and go, she's all right, like there is no reason why you can't go up to her and at least say, hey, would you like to go out on a date with me? Because if she laughs at you, what you don't understand when you're 15 and 16 is that that's not going to be the headlines forever.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just going to – it's going to be a week where maybe people will laugh at you. But there was always that shot that if you could charm her, if you could – you know what I mean?
That's the only way you can get better, too. I'm learning about this in my education school. It's called self-efficacy.
Really?
You get better at correcting yourself the more experience you get.
So the more, fail or if you succeed,
failing
either way,
is
it's
a
win.
Great thing.
Yeah.
It's a learning opportunity.
Right. And so that's, I'm hoping that I can do that. So my son doesn't have like a Misty Stewart. There was a girl, I didn't necessarily think she was the hottest thing in the world, but
right.
She was no German exchange student, but she was the captain of the cheerleading squad. And she never really had a boyfriend in high school. Like, and I kind of think.
Dedicated to cheer.
That would have been awesome. Gotten a little halter top. That would have been right. My move. If I could go back today and be, you know what I mean? Like, I would have played up my goofy card.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, but I just feel, what was I going to say? Oh, she never had guys that go out with her because I think that the kids in high school didn't want to ask her out because she's like the captain. Like, she's the archetype in every John Hughes movie.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, like, it doesn't make sense for you just go, oh, anybody, even the middle linebacker, although maybe he's banging junior college chicks. I don't know what his story was. But,
junior
college. Like, the football captain.
Right.
Or maybe he's just like, I don't like blondes. This is awkward. I know we're destined to be together, but it's not Roman times.
Yeah.
You know, kind of thing. And so I wish I would have just gone up to her and said, hey, can I take you out to... I don't know, not a drink, obviously. By drink, I mean
milkshake.
You want to hit up this vending machine over here? I've got a couple ones.
I don't know, inviting her for a drink, that's sort of badass.
Right?
You know, it's like, yeah, I party.
But I was so, like, I had balls with girls, but I was so dumb about them. Like, one of the first times I ever asked a girl out on a date, there was a new restaurant in Modesto called Baker Square, and I took her to Baker Square, thinking, like, I'm going to take her, like... You get mixed up with what you see on TV or think.
Right.
And so you're like, I'm going to take her to the hip and happen a new place
yeah,
in town.
Yeah, you watch Friends or something like that and try to like, we're going to go to a coffee shop and have witty banter. Something will come up and will just lead us to getting
to
married.
Seasons and seasons of sexual tension,
seasons,
right?
Like, yeah, just lots of tight shirts and sexual tension.
but that never. And so I took this girl to Baker Square, and I didn't know it was a restaurant for old people. And so I'm hoping I could teach my kids to not do that, to
right.
not have.
So what,
like,
you wouldn't have them take her out to dinner?
No, I mean if they want to, like you know, say I'm saying not to have that thing where I want to teach them that if you see a girl that you like. Go ask her out because you will have. There will be a time in your life that you will look back. I also am saying this out loud. I have to really carefully plan this because it sounds like I have regrets from being with their mother. That's not what I want to communicate.
No, I think we always think about that golden era in our life when we're full of possibility.
Right. I'm not saying that I would ask her out and then she would then be their mother. I'm saying I would ask her out and then I would have that little pin in my cap and I would eventually have found their mother
exactly.
later on. That's the way I think it goes.
You would become more sexually experienced just to service their mother later in ways.
She would not be able to turn me down, my wife. She would be so, oh, my God. Because if you think about it, this, I know that Misty dated some college guys.
Yeah.
So she's going to have some guys who have a little bit more mileage on them than me. She's going to be able to teach me. She's going to Mrs. Robinson the shit out of me. Yeah.
It's so funny to think of, like, ooh, college guys. I mean, I was always intimidated by them when I was in high school. Like, oh, they're... They know what they're doing with. They don't know no. shit.
Yeah, then you get to college. And
yeah. They just drink enough to do whatever they want.
I had this. That everybody's intoxicated and they don't know.
Exactly.
I had this theory that I was curious about that, you know, how people who are very religious and they'll wait until and say they don't get married until they're in their late 30s or late 20s, even. Like, my assumption was always that it's a thing that you acquire not with experience but with age. You know what I mean? But how imagine starting your sexual life at, I don't know, 29 or and then but like at the same time you don't really know any different because this is the person you're always going to be with. Because people
That's
make
so
fun
sad.
Of me. Yeah.
That's
people
so
make
sad.
Fun of me because I don't do like a ton of crazy positions with my wife because we've been together since high school. Like we still, in a sense, have teenage sex. It doesn't have to get... The nice part is it if it gets
a lot
like,
of dry humping.
Yes.
Right?
Oh my gosh. That's our foreplay.
Right.
That's our foreplay in case her parents call. Now they don't come over, but they could call and interrupt us and ruin the flow. You know what I mean? You always have to be ready to moment's notice
course.
to snap up and have a book. We always have a book opened in the bedroom. That's ready.
A book?
Yeah.
So algebra, basic algebra.
Right. We've had the same sophomore year algebra book that we splay open at the side of the bed so that in case somebody walks in, we can grab it real quick.
I actually like this fantasy. This is a lot more exciting than what doesn't happen in my life.
I had an awkward conversation with the preschool teachers. I'm very friendly with them at my preschool, and I was talking to them, and I told them a story which had come up on the show. I think you and I talked about it, actually, where a while ago I told my wife, I said, when we get back home, let's have sex every day for a month.
Yeah.
And then she goes, I couldn't even imagine, right? So I was laughing with them about this. But there's a Filipino lady that
you're laughing with the preschool teachers.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah.
Wow.
And so, there's a Filipino lady though that's there. It's a bunch of. I joke with the director. She's from Sri Lanka. She's Indian. I joke with her saying, you know, you are really, really ruining my efforts to make my kid a racist because they literally have every ethnicity represented.
It's beautiful
in the teacher world, you know. And so, so this Filipino chick though, she has a boyfriend. This is for any of the white devil ladies that are listening to the show. This is what you're up against. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
She just has a boyfriend. She cooks every meal for him. And she works from 6 in the morning or like 6 or 7 in the morning till about 5 or 6 at day. She comes home. She cooks dinner for him. And then while he watches basketball, she rubs him down with coconut oil to make sure his skin is moisturized. And then my favorite thing about it is that as she's telling this, there's no like, this is just what you do. Like, this is how it happens. Like,
I'm just thinking right now of how much coconut oil they must go through.
A lot, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot
insane.
Of NBA games in a season. It's not, you know, like, it's not as bad as baseball.
I think I probably have a bottle of coconut oil that's been sitting in the cabinet for 15 years.
Because we don't have a Filipino lady who wants us to be moisturized, I guess.
I mean, that culture, I know a couple other Filipino women who just talk about the pressure they were under when they were girls to have to cook, to have to clean, to have to, they didn't talk about servicing.
Like beyond that.
Beyond that. But just that, just the being a domestic.
Right.
Everything is controlled. I mean, that's amazing.
Well, when I told her this thing about how Natalie said I couldn't even imagine, and I told her about how we have a family and sex therapist that talked about, like, you know, women just couldn't even do that physically. Like, they need, like, a recouping time, which was also very weird to say to these people that are quasi-friendly but also teach my toddlers,
exactly.
You know, like, that it's like...
With, like, other parents just walking by and hearing snippets of
not
this
even, conversation. Yeah, that hadn't really happened. Like, there was convenience, but my two-year-old was roaming around, but he wasn't paying attention.
Yeah,
but
cool.
Anyway... But I just thought it was funny because at some point I'm like, because she goes, why would she say that? Like the Filipino goes, why does she not like doing that? What's going on? Like, is she sad? Is she depressed? Like, I went, no, hey, whoa, time out. I go, we're very happy. Okay, we're very happy. I'm not trying to paint because I don't want my wife to drop the kids on Friday on her day off and then her come and go, listen, touch him. Here's some coconut oil.
Right, exactly.
When he watches basketball.
For 3 hours, just a solid rub till he glistens.
Wait.
smells like the islands.
Like a professional wrestler. Right. Make him look like The Rock. You know?
Right.
So I was like, I was trying to break it down. But then she kept driving the point of like, what does she mean? Why do you mean physical? Why don't understand? Does she not find herself attractive? I go, no, my wife is fine. She's beautiful. We're all happy. But because I kept trying to say, like, I evidently have a Mandingo-sized dick. Like, I know that's not the case. But my fear was that there's a little bit of a language barrier, and that's what I was unintentionally communicating. That reason is she won't fuck the hedgehog of a Ron Jeremy that I am, because I destroy that vagina.
Right.
It's destroyed and it can't be touched for weeks on end. And the other director is trying to explain to her that it's like, no, you get tired from taking care of the kids. And
when they
turn five, like, then you get a little bit of a burst.
The preschool teacher literally thought you were telling her that you had an enormous dick.
I don't know. It was a very awkward moment, is what I'm saying. And it's one of the many.
That's incredibly awkward. That's amazing.
Well, she didn't think that I. Well, you're right. It would be great if she thought I had a Mandingo dick.
Right.
But that wasn't. But I'm not. I guess I'm not wired to like that. If that makes sense. Like,
right.
I'm like, no. I need to be clear here. That's not what's going on. But if I was smarter, I would just go, yeah, let them believe it.
I mean, just to clear up that misconception.
Yeah,
is
just whip it out.
Yes. Take only one.
I'm about to make a turkey of my own with some finger paint.
Meanwhile, at a preschool, the amount of nudity is...
oh, my gosh.
It's just like, eh, whatever. It's like a hippie colony, you know, when you go in there and, you know, they're just kids walking around with their pants off.
Yep, just doing their thing. My son came back. Here's the thing that I felt. I was there to pick him up one day, and he was in the middle class. Now he's in, like, the 4- and 5-year-old class, and so it's different. But he was just gotten out of what they call the baby class, the 2- and 3-year-old class.
Right.
And he went to the bathroom, and he couldn't button his pants, so he just came in. Underwear around the ankles and jeans around the ankles to ask his teacher for help.
Yeah,
everybody there is working. And I had that moment of like, I'm about to witness my son become the victim of the bullying that everybody taught. Like, he's going to be the one.
Right.
You walked him in the classroom, Nick. Right. Nobody skipped a beat.
No.
Nobody,
it's so normal.
It just really
got, that kid's throwing his shit against the wall. It's like, yeah. Same old. What happened at school today? Yeah, nothing.
Like, he's just walking around with his little junk bouncing around.
Yeah.
And I had all these, because he's not circumcised, you know, so I thought maybe that would be a thing that
they're
going
to notice.
They're going to make fun of.
I don't know.
Nobody
it's
even
invisible.
Looked. Yeah, nobody even looked. I was so shocked, and it was not a big deal. And
it's
then the other
Garden
thing,
of Eden. It's an amazing situation.
Right. The other thing I noticed is that he had, like, an accident where he had accidentally peed a little on his pants. Like, he pulled his pants down, but he didn't make it, like, in the...
Man, that happens in my life
right,
all the time.
Exactly.
Girl having to squat outside to pee and then all over the pants.
Yeah. I thought you were saying like me too, but like as a grown man.
I demonstrate by squatting, putting my pants down. It's difficult. Night, I piss all over my.
This is just a fire hose going on.
Yeah, yeah.
But so he had gotten some on his pants, and I felt bad. Like, oh, he's going to get made fun of because now he's in the big kid class. Nobody cares. There's no more those stories of people being made fun of are that you have to be now in like fifth grade. Obviously, like
I guess.
Yeah, it's it is a very, very weird, weird situation.
Yeah, they mimic and they act like adults. Where I forget that stuff is really what goes on. Like, they're pretending to text on a phone. Like, I'm texting. She has, like, a baseball card, and she's pretending to text with it.
I want to hang out there and watch what goes on around the kitchen playset some days. Like, that's the thing I really like. I like to see. Because the preschool teacher was telling me that she coughed. Like, she just went like that.
Right.
And then she goes, Miss Mona, stop smoking or you're going to get sick. Like,
awesome.
This 3-year-old kid says to her, and she goes, and they know because of the, like, I would have never thought this. Like, I was like, oh, maybe you saw the TV. She goes, who smokes at home, Henry? Like, is what?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he goes, huh? She goes, who smokes? She goes, oh, you. And she goes, no, at home, who smokes? He goes, oh, dad. And so that's how they know that dad was sneaking cigarettes and stuff out. And
that
mom
dad
and I,
smokes. That dad is a huge dick. And that dad, yeah. Oh, man.
Oh,
I find that coconut oil really helps the emphysema.
The smell.
It's really... Yeah.
Can you imagine? Let's just...
I don't want coconut oil.
I know.
I can't get it out of my head, but
right.
It's like, just so sticky and, like, smelling like coconut, but, and then...
aside from the aftermath, you're focusing on the aftertaste, okay? Yeah. Imagine your lovely lady comes home from a hard day of work, right? She makes you a meal, and then while you're sitting down enjoying, I don't know, Connecticut's, you probably watch lacrosse or something like that.
I'm a Californian now. A lot of baseball.
Baseball. So you're watching a baseball
162
game.
162 games, 162 coconut applications.
Yeah, there's a lot. That's a lot. You would be so moisturized.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, just the idea, the pleasure you would feel of your wife just putting hands on you. You
I know, it's
saying?
Sort of, it makes me almost want to cry when I think about it. Something that I don't know if I'm prepared to quite allow myself to feel. That would be a lot of love. That would be a lot of care. I don't think I want to imagine that.
It would open up too many emotional.
It would. I really want someone to touch me. I want my wife to touch me. That's why talking about this makes me uncomfortable and think about the bad parts about the coconut oil on me. How smelly it is. It attracts some kind of animal.
Psychologically, you can't handle the benefits of it.
No, you just
crumble right
but
here.
But now
you're
that
tired,
you put it that
you've been
way,
working
yes.
a lot.
I've been focused on the aftertaste of coconut oil. Yeah. And not on the sweet coconut water that's hydrating
exactly.
and electrolytes. And,
the literal experience that it is. All right. Well, anyway, we're sitting here. We're babbling. There's some stuff that we wanted to do. What do you want to do first? You want to do my idea or you want to do your bag of problems?
I'll do my quick bag of problems. Uh-huh. And
I'm very curious about this because Johnny came in and said, I brought a bag. That are representative of all of my problems that you're like in your life right now, right?
Well, of a problem,
a single problem.
It's more of a single problem.
So these like a clue to like
this is why I brought the bag because just the fact that I have a bag with something in it, people are curious,
right?
You know?
That's what I mean. It's really enticing.
Yeah, it's this is called a motivational exercise.
Oh, is this really a thing that you've learned?
Oh, yeah. Totally.
Am I a victim of, like,
You're
your education?
You're a victim of my education.
Am I going to be the third paragraph in your paper?
Right. Okay. Let's see.
Can you just refer to me as the Mandingo Cocked comedian friend of yours?
I'm glad it's being recorded. I'm going to use these in my notes.
You could cite it on the internet.
Okay, so this is the first thing
okay.
that this I'm taking out. So
it's a baseball cap. It's a Red Sox baseball cap. Very tiny, though. Child size, yes?
It is a child size. Fitted Red Sox cap.
Okay.
It costs $30.
Holy crap.
Yeah, and it's fitted. That means the head has to stay the same.
On a child that's going to grow,
It grows,
so this is going to be a hand-me-down to your younger daughter.
It's one of the worst. And then there's this one.
Okay. Uh-oh, what is this? This is a Los Angeles Dodgers non-fitted baseball cap.
Also child-sized Dodgers cap. And then I have this.
What is this here? The Angels.
Child-size Angels.
Child-size Angels.
This is something I'm...
Hat.
This is a problem. This is reflective of a problem I'm facing.
Yeah, what's...
What would you guess?
I guess, okay.
My hat store's going out of business.
Yeah, number one, you need to buy stock in Starter as a company. That's what my first thought is. But I'm trying to piece together, like, this used to be a kind of an exercise that we would teach in an improv class where you would come up with items that people would go through at a grocery store and figure out what the story was behind that.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to figure out.
This is presenting the puzzlement.
Oh, this is what it's called?
Yeah.
All right. So I am incredibly uncomfortable and yet incredibly excited about the idea of being a lab rat right now.
I don't know where this is gonna go.
Right.
But this is what it is to be. You
have forced me as a grown man to be a student again in the sense that I am afraid that I will fail this.
There's no failing. Like
don't
I said
fucking
before.
Tell me that bullshit. I know there is a wrong answer to everything.
All opportunities for learning.
Okay.
Especially when the teacher doesn't know the answer.
The issue is that here's what I imagine. Right. I imagine being from Connecticut, although I think that's more of a Yankees town, though. But you are a Boston Red Sox fan, and that's where this came from.
Exactly.
So I nailed that.
Yeah, Connecticut. It's like the Mason-Dixon line for Red Sox Yankees.
Yes. And
Hartford's right in the middle, and so.
And they just won the series.
Right.
So you're all happy here. Mm-hmm. But the fact, and so the L.A. Dodgers and the California Angels. Does your wife
that's Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim?
Are you serious?
Yeah, they changed the name, Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. It's ridiculous.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
So is your wife from the West Coast? And
yes.
This is some kind of, so this is a, okay. All right. So here's what I'm going to say. If your wife is from the West Coast,
yeah,
I'm going to say that she is a Dodgers fan. No, I'm going to retract that. I think she grew up an Angels fan.
Yes. Yes.
Cause she grew up in like Orange County area.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
But now, because I know where you guys live, because we yes. recorded an episode at your house, you guys live within, I would say a $20 cab ride from Dodger Stadium.
Yeah.
Right? So what it is that your wife says we are an Angels family.
Right.
You say we are a Red Sox family.
Right.
And you have compromised it being a Dodgers family.
Yes.
But subsequently, still have to have all of the hats.
But we still, no, we've decided that we're going to be fans of all three teams.
Because nobody listens.
Is that going to screw up? Yeah, no one. These teams have the highest payrolls in baseball, pretty much. I figure one of them has to win every year.
Right.
My daughter's going to be a winner.
Right. Because it's only in the last couple of years the Dodgers have really come back. Right.
Yeah. It's been 20 years since they won a World Series. Angels since 2002.
Yeah.
But they always put together good teams. But this is the problem. Like, I love the Red Sox. My wife loves the Angels,
uh-huh.
and the grandparents love the Angels, and they have tickets to the Angels, so she goes to Angel games.
So goes to Angels games.
So I can't let her just know. She knows Hank Conger, the backup catcher on the Angels.
Your daughter does?
Yeah, her favorite player is Chris Iannetta, who's a, you know, I don't know, like a second-string catcher.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, I'm curious. How old's your daughter again?
She's not even four.
Not even four?
Yeah.
What goes into it?
When I wipe her, when I want to wipe her, I say, umpire, and she stands, she crouches. Like, that's how into baseball.
Keep it in the strike zone, Pops.
Exactly.
That's interesting that, like, what draws her to Chris Iannetta?
Because Iannetta sounds like a girl.
That's what she said?
Yeah, Iannetta sounds like a girl's name. And that's how it started.
That's awesome. As far as, like, I'm sure that you don't really need a way to fix it, but here's the thing. I think... if you really wanted to truly, well, you have to, part of being a baseball fan is you have to be able to go to the games, right? Like,
yeah, but also part of it is, don't you have to lose once in a while? Like, if she can wear all three hats, basically can always be a winner.
Well, you growing up as a Red Sox fan, you're like, that's part of what defines you.
Yeah,
like,
but I don't know if I like that when I think back to it.
Right.
Like, it was
nobody
all
does.
About, I didn't expect to ever win.
Right.
I expected to come close and then fail. And that was fine. It wasn't just fine. It was there were no other options.
But this
that.
Is what I love about Red Sox fans is that there's a part of them that defines who they are.
Yeah, I was proud of that.
Yeah, they believe that they understand struggle and strife. Like, they really feel like every within the last 20 years, if you grew up near the New England, Boston area and were a Red Sox fan, you could sit down and have a conversation with somebody who was a teenager during the Great Depression.
Yeah.
I feel like that share war stories back
right.
and forth.
Because the Red Sox still hadn't won a World Series during the Great Depression, and it just continued. I'd argue that we would have even worse things to experiences to talk about. We could talk about Bill Buckner. They couldn't.
There's no Bill. That's what I was trying right. to think of. Who Bucknered the Great Depression?
Yeah, like, well, I mean, Babe Ruth was traded to the Yankees in 1919,
uh-huh.
right after they won the World Series in 1918, and the curse of the Bambino. So that's what they dealt with in the 30s.
Wow. He was traded to the Yankees?
Yeah,
or
to the Yankees. He played on the Red Sox. He was a starting pitcher. He was an amazing player, and then they traded him to the Yankees.
And then he went on to be like the
greatest of all time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You could argue. Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
But now this new generation, they've won three times in the last 9 years. I don't like that. So maybe I shouldn't. I mean, I'm taking the Red Sox out now. I think I'm putting them back.
Are you putting it back in the? Oh, so we're literally whittling it down right here, right now.
Well, like, why not?
We're X-factoring this.
Yeah, I think we're going to do this. We're down to the Dodgers and the Angels.
Well, you said yourself, you already consider yourself more Californian than you do Connecticut.
Yeah, and you're right. We don't go to Red Sox games at all. There's no way we don't go to Boston.
Yeah.
So it's going to be Dodgers or Angels. And this is where I worry about knife fights.
As Dodgers, right?
Yeah.
Because that was my thought. My thought is that you can't be like a suburban at this point in the game. Now, maybe if they start winning and, you know, some more, it sounds really messed up, but if some more money goes, like, it's, I know because I'm not a big baseball fan, but I grew up a football fan.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to a couple Raiders games, and you go to a Raiders game and you're like,
wow.
You know, it's not the Eagles, from what I understand.
Right.
But you go to a Niners game and everybody's like sitting there sipping wine and you know,
yeah,
like
it is the difference between the Raiders and the Niners.
Right. And they talk about how I've talked to conversations with Raiders. There was a guy that worked at the theme park with me and he was Shieldhead. That's what he was like. You know, those guys at the Raiders.
Yeah.
He didn't actually sit in the black hole, but they had like four or five guys that they would cut to that were always wearing the same getup.
Right.
Well, we had seats behind a couple of those guys, Exhibitioner or something, or Executioner, I think was his name. He's the guy with he's the black dude with the zebra paint and the do-rag and the big football uniform with
awesome
spikes on the shoulder pads. Well, there's another guy who was Shieldhead that worked with us at the park, and he was the one who made a Shieldhead that, and his face was the Raiders face in the logo, and he wore an eye patch and painted his face, and that
wow
was what he did. And he just talked about how the Raiders fans, it's insane there. Like, they're cheering and they're loud, and so like they talk about going to Seattle right now, that
yeah
that's the loudest stadium. Niner Stadium was not that. Like, it was noisy, but nobody was going to – people would probably go, I have to sing tomorrow at church.
Right, you know, in the corral.
In the corral later on
right
today. I can't do this, so I'm going to – do you have some throat coat? Do you have
right
throat coat, my dear beer man?
Dear beer man. Let's sing the dear beer man song. Dear beer man.
So you can't really go to the Dodgers
well
games.
If you're going to go to a Dodgers game, you should wear a Dodger hat.
Right.
So that's the idea is that if she roots for the Dodger, at least she's safe because
yeah
she's associated with some of those.
She's been jumped
people
into the gang.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, they're not going to. Yeah, they're
that's
like, oh, you're raising her right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Instead of wearing an angel hat to a Dodger game.
But the possibilities, just because grandma and grandpa are big, like season ticket holders, it sounds like the possibilities of her going to Angels game far more often
yes
than going to a Dodgers game. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I think you might just have to let this one play out. I think Red Sox are gone for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're going to, and if you like the struggle, you have to look at what, how much you appreciate the struggle you had as a Red Sox fan.
Yeah.
And then you pick whichever one is going to take a while before they jump back. I mean,
It's tough.
Right now, I think it would be the Angels, yeah?
I think so. I mean, I don't know. I'm still reeling a little bit. I didn't realize how hard it would be for me to take that Red Sox hat off the
yeah
table.
Are you okay? You want to put it back on there?
I think no. No, I don't. I don't.
This is
I don't
so
want
funny.
I don't want someone who grows up in California to say, I'm a Red Sox fan. Like, why? Oh, my dad grew up in Connecticut.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell is that? No, yeah, but
I don't think I have any listeners in Boston, but I imagine if I do, they're cursing at their iPod.
They could be, yeah.
Are you fucking kidding me, guy?
Right, you traitor? No, the Red Sox fans are some of the most annoying. How much can I curse on this?
You can curse as
okay
much as you want.
We were at an Angel game. It was Angels Red Sox,
mm-hmm,
and this guy is standing in front of everyone else, a Red Sox fan, and someone's like, excuse me, sir, can you please move? And he turns around and goes, ah, fuck you fucking cunt, and the horse rode in on. And it's just like, Boston! It's like, those are my people. And I took my Red Sox hat and just sort of turned it around. It's so embarrassing. And he, you know, he's like, brother! It's like, you're associated with these horrible people.
Here's what I would like to do after having this conversation. I would like you to put the Red Sox hat back on. I would like you to take your daughter, wife, and your in-laws to a Red Sox game so that they can have that same moment and,
exactly,
and kind of look at their daughter like, This is what you want.
This is what you bestowed. This is what you give.
This is the one you chose. This
yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's great. Well done.
Thank
that
you
was
and
well
very,
worth.
Thank you for putting yourself in that awkward position in the beginning of
yeah trying to figure out what. Well, and so now I feel like I want to know how did I handle the puzzle? What'd you call it? The puzzlement.
Yeah, presenting the puzzlement.
Presenting.
Yeah,
the puzzlement.
It was. It was great. It's exactly, you're supposed to just talk out,
okay,
think aloud.
And so this, and like if this were a classroom situation, is it better to not necessarily have an end goal because the students could present another learning
yeah
opportunity?
What we could have done, we could have made a graphic organizer, like put Red Sox, uh-huh, Dodgers, Angels, and put a pro and con chart, something
uh-huh
like that, or made a Venn diagram, you know, and list out the reasons for or against each one.
Wow.
Then maybe write a summary at the end. You know, hand that in to me.
This is good. This
yeah
is good. I'm excited. I'm excited for this adventure because I just want to see. I want to see what you come up with. Like, I like the idea of a Mr. Walker coming in and using the conundrum of the Dodgers, Angels, and Red Sox
yeah
to actually translate some kind of issue within the, you know, the French-American War. You know
what I
mean? Like,
totally. That's exactly what I wanted to
French do. French-Indian War. That's what I should have said.
Hey, French-American.
Same difference.
Same thing. Same difference.
Right. Evidently, I need to take your class. Is there an online option? Do you podcast it?
Oh, man, that would be great. I wouldn't have to leave home. I'd be like, yeah, sit down.
Eventually,
I wouldn't care if kids act up in class at all.
I think that probably within our lifetimes, it's going to come down
class,
to some level of that.
At USC, where I'm in class, I do the classes I'm in right now are all online.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
There's a ton of, like, I do a lot of voiceover auditions, and there's a ton of them that come through that are professors looking for someone else to deliver the lectures. Like, they just want to pay you $600.
No way, really?
And you could say all the lectures and the notes because they put them out as a podcast for their class.
That's so lazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I think it's that they're self-conscious because, you know, they're academics, and so they kind of, they have a link or something along those lines. Or
yeah.
Maybe they can't really talk.
They're Tourette's.
Communicate right. Properly. Or yeah,
they're Mesopotamian. Fuck!
Constant!
Empire!
Go fuck Sorry. Yourself in the horse you rode in on, you cunt.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good times.
Classic.
All right. Well, we'll do this too. This is an idea that I had. For anybody who's been listening to the show for a long time, you may remember we did that episode where the fantastic ladies over at Naptime Radio came on the show. And I said something that tickled me personally, where I was saying that we were going to do some stuff for the moms and we were going to moisten some minivan seats. And so we have ladies that listen to the show. And I do think that they, while they like to listen to the show because they like to get the male perspective and to figure out how our minds work and what our opinions are on coconut oil, which is why we spend so much time on it. I think that it would be unfair and unjust if we didn't have just at least a little something in there for these ladies every now and then. And I think as two stay-at-home dads, me and Mr. Walker, know exactly what what moms would like to hear about from a man. Like, I think it's a misunderstanding that these moms, soccer moms in particular, let's say as an isolated example,
right,
would like to stare at a Ryan Gosling all day. You know
Never,
what I mean? Or,
no.
or go? No, they don't want to go get some froyo with that guy.
No.
What they know is they want a real man who knows the things that go on in their day-to-day life. So this is a new segment that I'm going to try out called Moistening Minivan Seats. So I truly hope you enjoy it.
This is a little segment for the ladies. It's about that time you wish you had vinyl interior, because those minivan seats are about to get moist. Dad Podcast getting sexy, y'all. You're welcome, ladies.
So I, we have. Oh, that's a lot. Let's see. I got
we're
a little music
cave.
Here. Yeah, we're in the cave. Let's take it down a little bit. But I, you know, we want to create like a sexy mood. Yeah, that feels good. Let's do some. You want to? We can put some bass on our voices.
You like my keyboard playing?
Yeah, girl. That's good. I like it. So we just want to dedicate this next few minutes. Johnny and I are going to be talking to you, ladies, so that you know that we know what you need. Like, for instance, you don't, like I mentioned, Ryan Gosling.
Yeah?
Yeah. You don't need a guy with six-pack abs. You need a guy that knows that pink is a dark color. You need that level of understanding.
Yeah. I look at Crayola all day.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know magenta. I know violet.
Yeah, you do.
I know other levels of purple like lavender.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I know what lavender smells like, too.
Oh.
Because I take walks with the baby past lavender bushes.
That's right, you do.
And I think, wow, I could rub that oil on my wife or buy dish soap that smells like lavender. I should put that on my list of things to do go to the grocery store.
I would fill up a fucking grocery list for you, girl. I would fill it up, and I would get that palm olive that's sensitive on your cuticles.
Oh, yeah.
I would get a manicure with you in a heartbeat.
Put the man in the manicure.
That's right. That's right.
Every day.
I'd soak my hairy knuckles in those fantastic little trays that they have.
Man, I love the idea of going to the grocery store like two times a day for my woman.
feel that.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm like...
She doesn't have to come home on the way from work because you went twice.
No. I'm going to get some fresh vegetables for the children.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't forget the teepee, yo.
That's
Ladies
right.
be loving their teepee.
A lot of toilet paper.
And the thing you get with guys like us is we know exactly what kind of tampon you need.
Oh, you were talking about tampons, not toilet paper. I got you.
No, I figured they were in the same aisle because I know.
Oh.
I know they're in the general
That's
vicinity.
That's right. Aisle number three, feminine hygiene.
That's right.
Toilet paper. Check.
Yeah, that's good.
Someday with my two daughters, we'll have to go to that section. And that will be an uncomfortable conversation.
But you'll be ready for it.
I will be very ready.
It's not like
I'll
most
say,
guys.
You can have a plastic applicator if you like.
Yeah.
You can have one with wings.
Or maybe you could start with just a maxi pad.
You can start to the max.
Let's try to take it to
take it to the max.
We know the difference. Well, we don't. I don't think we really. This is a bad.
No, keep going.
I'm saying, girl, I know the difference between a heavy flow and a regular flow. I know things just like my love for you start off heavy, and then they plateau out for a little bit, and then we have a couple children, and they fizzle out, and it comes down to where we only touch each other in our special places on special occasions and birthdays.
Birthdays. I could talk about birthdays as
oh,
a house
really?
Husband. Oh, yeah.
Yeah? You know.
Man, I get that whole party ready.
What?
Yeah, I get that whole party ready.
I bet you do, Johnny. You
know
how to work
make
a plastic tablecloth.
I can make a cake.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, you put that icing
that's
on.
That's a husband. I don't just put the icing. I get the box from the grocery store.
Oh, you Betty Crocker
I Betty Crocker the shit out of that.
Yeah. And then if it's special, you get a little Duncan Hines.
Oh, I make frosting from scratch.
What?
I scratch that shit out.
Confection sugar.
Confectioner sugar and butter. And I just whip that shit till it's sweet and silky. And I wait for the cake to cool, and then I put the frosting on with a specific motion. Because I am a house husband who prepares for birthdays.
Oh, these ladies are so lucky to be having us right now.
I know where to get piñatas.
Oh.
There's a piñata section in downtown Los Angeles. I have an idea for a sign on the store there. It's called, "You buy it, you break it."
Speaking of break, my heart was just as broken as yours was when Elizabeth Berkley was eliminated on Dancing with the Stars before
Bill
Engvall. All those judges were so upset. It was horrible. And they made a mockery of your favorite competition show. So I'm going to get some coconut oil. I'm going to rub it on you for you, baby.
Oh, okay. That's very intimate.
Oh, I shouldn't have been making eye contact
right.
with you when I said that. You're right.
No, it's just that I don't
like
to...
I figured it was implied that we were talking to ladies.
Oh, that's right. Okay,
but
sorry. I
just
saw you looking at me, and I got a little freaked out. I mean, that's right, lady.
Well, we can't... Being the sexual beast that we are, we can't contain our energy. Sometimes a little bit overflows into a neighboring manly cup, and I'm not making a move on you. This is all for ladies.
Good. We were talking about that lady listening in her minivan.
Yeah.
Wet minivan. That minivan. I found a bottle of milk in my car the other day. I was wondering if someone shit their pants in my minivan, and it's always a possibility. But this time, it happened to be a disgusting bottle of milk.
You think Ryan Gosling knows the difference between just a funky smell in a car because kids drop French fries,
right?
Or when a chicken breast has been left underneath a car seat for far too long.
Oh, that's true.
That's what we know.
We have to go through a mental checklist of things that could be smelling horrible, and that checklist is long. And the first thing I always go for is my own breath. Oh, man. Was that sort of what you were we able to accomplish?
I think I'm gonna call that mission accomplished. That's
all right, excellent.
Consider your minivan seat moistened. Enjoy carpool. You're welcome.
Oh, damn it. Well, I hope you enjoyed that, because that was a shit ton of fun for at least me. that was fun, right? That's good times.
Man, that was awesome.
Oh, those ladies are so lucky that listen to the show. Maybe, and then sometimes I think I have moms on the show.
Yeah.
We'll do that for the fellas, too. A little something for them while they're listening in their cubicle at work and make things uncomfortable for them.
Yeah.
Make it a while before they could get up and make a bathroom run.
That's right.
Yeah.
So I have to get out of the pattern of voice.
Yeah, you can't. Well, that's the thing. Listen, it's been a reoccurring theme on your visits on the show.
Yeah.
I've stated, because I know it's an audio medium. I mean, ladies, I'm saying, do a Google search on your smartphone. You will see a picture of Mr. Walker. He's an easy on the eyes guy.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
So, and when you look like you, you can't just turn off that sexual
energy.
It's
hard. It's
a burden that you carry.
It is.
Yeah. And
deep in my pocket.
Trust me.
I do.
And that is something that clearly I can relate to. I'm not easy on the eyes, so I have to compensate with the girth of my cock.
With an enormous, yes.
That's what I have to bring to the table.
And let the Filipino preschool teacher know about it.
Let her decide. Make her up her own mind, because the reality is that I don't know. Maybe I let myself go so much because I know what I'm packing. You understand? Like beautiful ladies, a lot of times they're not the ones with the degrees. You see what I mean? Like, because they're like, listen, I'm going to be fine. I've got some C cups and tan skin naturally. I'm going to be doing just fine for the rest of my life.
Coincidentally, that's how I think.
That's
too.
Your problem
my
too.
MO. I go on what I've got on the sexiness. And I say, I'm going to get a woman to take care of me.
Fucking riding that way for the rest of your life.
I'll husband the shit out of my life. That's right.
Oh, that's awesome.
I'm going to buy some coconut oil to moisten her up.
Yeah, you should. You should. Yeah, what would be the equivalent? That's the other thing.
I think the equivalent is coconut oil.
Right.
Are there different oils?
Well, there's peanut.
All right.
The vegetable.
Here's this vegetable oil.
Wait, we can go back. We got vegetable oil. We have to let these minivan seats dry up at some point. We can't keep talking about all the sex.
Sorry.
Well, that's the thing. I was trying to think of what the female equivalent is, but you're absolutely correct. I don't understand why it is coconut oil. I mean, I know she's from a tropical nation, but...
Yeah. It could be leave me alone. You know, that might be it.
Maybe that's because she's Asian. She gives him a little happy ending massage so that he's not trying to climb on top of her later on. I see. Maybe that's
a real racist explanation.
Listen, that's how I roll.
I mean, that's how. Okay, Ching Chong.
Whatever.
To quote the earlier teacher. Not that I was. Just a callback is what that's known as.
Oh, damn it. That is some funny, funny stuff. All right. Well, let's do some moments of the week, and we can wrap it up. Always a joy. Always a joy.
You made them. You love them. And sometimes you want to choke the living shit out of them. But occasionally, they give you that one sweet moment. This is that moment. Moment of the week, brought to you by Stitcher, the free app that handles all your podcasting needs without having to sync to your computer. Stream all your favorite podcasts right to your Droid, BlackBerry, or iPhone. Just go to thedadpodcast.com and click on the Stitcher logo on the left-hand side. It's free, people, and they give us money if you do it.
Sorry, my moment of the week actually happened today. I have some friends visiting from out of town, and it's just a cute little thing. She's the mom. Their mom is somebody I went to high school. We did a lot of like high school theater and stuff with.
That's what you call it, okay?
That's yeah. Please don't tell my wife. no, but excuse me. Moistening minivan seats gives me emphysema, evidently. But the it's funny because when you know someone as a kid. Right. And then you get to grow up with him. And then now we're at a different phase. And I'm like, we used to be having conversations about like what kind of cigarettes we liked because we thought that was cool, you know, and where we were going to get booze from.
Yeah, theater kids.
And now she literally said to me today, she's like, yeah, I'm getting old. I can only really handle one cup of coffee before I get like a heartburn situation. I'm like, yeah, me too, man. And so it's just, and then you add to that to watch her daughter is like a carbon copy of her. But with like platinum blonde hair. And so just to watch her kids and my kids playing and kind of see that, you know, that Lion King circle of life bullshit. But it was really touching and just really sweet. And to watch these moments that where my kids, you get those moments where you feel like you're they're being tested and your parenting's being tested.
Yeah.
And this morning was one of those like, oh, these new kids that literally just walked in the door this morning because they were already asleep when they showed up last night. And they just went, boom, okay, we're kids. You're kids. Okay, let's play. We know what to do. We know the rules. Let's go have fun. And nobody fought. Nobody was arguing over toys. And even though if I left my two sons alone in a room for more than 2 seconds, then there's, he took this. That's mine. But you know what I mean? Like, they know how to turn on the charm and make us look like a functional family.
Right,
You know? So just that whole thing was just really, really cool and sweet to watch them all be able to play with each other because they're all in around the same age range, but nobody's really close. Like, there is a gap. Whereas, like, when Jacob has a friend come over, my two-year-old becomes, like, the bad guy or the monster, and the two-year-old doesn't know. He just wants to hang out with them.
I feel so bad for the little guys when that happens.
Yeah.
They get beat up.
Right. But and that he's still young enough that he doesn't really know that he's kind of being ostracized.
Right.
He thinks he's running
included,
with the big dogs.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
But he just always they're running away from him, and he thinks we're all just running. But yeah, so it was just cute to watch them all play together. So now your turn, Mr. Walker.
That's cute. Yeah, that makes me – all I could think of was, like, when you're talking about a friend who you were kids with and now our kids are playing together, that just made me think, oh, God, we're going to die. You know? Our life is almost over. That is so frightening and scary.
It's a weird point.
That perspective, it just takes – one more step of perspective until we're dead.
Yeah, exactly. That's it.
Oh, God.
It makes you think, like, I hope this isn't my peak. Like,
the peak is done. Yeah. It's like, I wonder what my kid's peak is going to be. I wonder what my gravestone will look like.
My peak is done. You're right. That in a sense, our 20s and our like high school years are supposed to be like the gold year. My dad said that his 40s were the best time of his life.
Nice.
But I don't know if he's putting that down as like a breadcrumb trail of like, hey, it'll be fine. It's okay.
To, yeah.
You're like, I hope
don't
so.
Hurt yourself. let's see. My recall isn't that. Oh, okay. A good moment. Oh, this is so last night, I've been up literally for 3 days writing these papers.
Oh, my gosh. You poor guy.
So I'm a little out of it. And last night at around 3, my daughter started crying.
Oh, no.
Mommy, mommy. And normally we don't go in, but she hardly cries. So
yeah.
And my wife hardly saw her during the day. She was working all day. And so
it's the kind of thing where she'll make noise and you go, she'll roll over and go back to sleep.
Eventually. Yeah, yeah. We'll just wait because we don't want to get her in the habit.
Right.
If
she just says it and then you go in, like Natalie, my wife does that all the time where he'll go, milk, milk. And then she goes and gets a milk. And then 3 weeks later is angry while she's getting up 2 or 3 times just to give him milk.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Because he thinks that's what he needs to go back to sleep. Yeah, I totally get it. Yeah.
And so she went in there to hold her. And then I just sort of peeked my head in and then my daughter started crying again.
Oh no!
And my wife couldn't console her, and she said, "Daddy, I want daddy."
Oh!
And she said her first sentence, "I want daddy."
Oh!
And made my wife feel horrible.
But a moment for you because it's a victory.
Yeah, but I was like, eh. I'm like, I don't want to have to hold her right now. I really appreciate that. It sort of ruined the entire, for a minute.
Yeah.
Or like a second.
Well, there's a reason why we call them moment and not phases. You know
exactly,
what I mean?
Like,
it literally
for a very brief moment, I was very proud that she said a sentence and that she asked for me.
Yeah.
And then I felt horrible for the reason that my wife was probably feeling bad.
Yeah.
And then also because I didn't actually want to have to hold her.
Right. You're like, I have so much shit to
do. I have so much to do. You're adorable, but I'm not going to be holding you. Oh, God. But for a minute, it was, or for 2 seconds, it was really great.
That's awesome. Oh, damn it, Johnny Walker. Always a pleasure. Always a joy.
So much fun.
Please send us an email. Let me know what you think of these segments and stuff. You can send an email to show@thedadpodcast.com. You can also like us on Facebook. Sorry, I totally blanked on what I was saying. Like us on Facebook. Oh, I have a thing here. I'm going to do this. All right, so, sorry, I had a technical thing, and by technical, I mean my head. So you can like the show, facebook.com/dadpodcast, follow it on Twitter, @dadpodcast, or me on Twitter, @JustinWorsham. The other thing I wanted to put out there, he was a guest on the show, and a great listener. He's starting a blog, and it is called Angry Dad Chronicles, and it is available at angrydadchronicles.wordpress.com. And I think there's a link on the Facebook page for that as well. If not, there should be by the time. Don't forget to listen to Naptime Radio. They're available on iTunes, Stitcher, and you can find them as well on Facebook, facebook.com/naptimeradio. They also have a website, naptimeradio.com. Johnny just told me, or would you rather I not say this on the thing? Just
no, that's fine.
You
can look for me online, and if you do, let me know. Because I'm trying to take down all references to my comedy. Because I'm trying to get a job to teach your children. Yeah. And, well, my comedy is very appropriate for adults. It is not intended for children.
Do you mind then if at the end of this song, if I play your baby song, can I put that?
No, that's great. Okay, yeah, please. Yeah.
I'll put that on there because I think everybody on this would love that song. But anyway. So look for Johnny Walker, two N's, and the Johnny. And if you find anything, please give him a heads up. Not sure how you're going to connect with him. Send me an email, and then I'll text him. He's gone dark via the internet so that he can not answer a lot of questions. What is this? And then click on a YouTube.
Right. Why are you humping a car? I think I do that in two videos. Another video, I hump a train. So there's... called metrosexual.
What is your sexual attraction to vehicles?
I never stop to parse it out. I don't want to have to think about it. I'm a train sexual.
Well, I've just given you the puzzlement presentation.
It is the puzzlement.
Please go to thedadpodcast.com and become a paid subscriber. $2 a month or $24 a year could change my life. And I think that's it. On behalf of my good friend Johnny Walker, this is Justin Worship saying stay frosty.